Welcome, welcome, welcome. Y'all, I'm so excited. This is another episode of the Government Coins Podcast. And I don't know if you notice a trend going on here, but it just keeps getting better and better and better. And this week, we have the city of Fort Lauderdale on board to come in and let us know about how to navigate the process of doing business with them. And joining me today is Glenn, the Chief Procurement Officer at the city of Fort Lauderdale. So we are definitely going to get into how to do business with them. Glenn, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Thank you for having me. Doing well. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, yes. It is a beautiful day today. I'm happy that the rain has kind of chilled out a little bit. So I'm good with that.
But it's Florida. It's paradise. You know, with the good, you have a little bit of the bad. But it's mostly good. So I think we're doing just fine.
You know what? I can agree to that. I'll leave it at that. No more rain conversations from me. But definitely happy to be here and just kind of get into it immediately. And I wanted to talk a little bit about you. Would you mind introducing yourself? You know, tell us a little bit about who you are and kind of how you got into this space.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. I mean, humbly speaking, I am Glenn Markles. I'm the Chief Procurement Officer for the city of Fort Lauderdale. I'm also the Assistant Finance Director for the city, but mainly I am doing a lot of procurement. I have been in the public procurement profession for roughly about 30 years. Throughout the years, my background is quite an interesting one. I have been involved with starting up government agencies and transforming government agencies. So from anywhere from starting up a, So anywhere from starting up a new police department or a brand new city, that police department was the city of Fort Lauderdale's, the Lauderdale Police Department. And that city was the city of Aventura, was involved in those startups. Both had police departments that needed to be started up. In Aventura, a little bit different because in Aventura, we started up the city, brand new city back in 1996. So obviously from that to transforming organizations, procurement operations in the city of Miami, Broward County, and now the city of Fort Lauderdale. So, you know, it's quite interesting that when you are looking at things from an operational point of view, there's a lot of things that goes into all of that. So when you transform an organization, you know, you must complement the reorganization of the functions with the latest technology, and which we'll end up talking about later on. And we have to end up updating policies and procedures. So within these various organizations, once you do all of this, you also have to complement that with authoring procurement laws, policies and procedures. So I have done all of that. I've done it in the city of Miami. I did it for a short period of time over at the city of Coral Gables. I authored their first procurement law over at the city of Coral Gables, and then did it all over again in Broward County. And then once again, I'm at it in the city of Fort Lauderdale.
Wow, Glenn, that is a background you have. And I'm always excited to hear about cities getting started and like the different structure of government. So that's a conversation that you and I could definitely have offline. But excited to hear about that. Like, man, it kind of threw me off. I got to get to my next question. But could you mind telling us a little bit more about your role as Chief Procurement Officer at the city of Fort Lauderdale and what that your duties entail?
Sure. I mean, I'll give you a little synopsis. My role in the city of Fort Lauderdale is very, very simple. I manage and supervise the procurements in the city. The city's procurement function is centralized, meaning that everything kind of bubbles up right into our division. I am responsible for establishing the policies that governs all purchases and contracts. My job is exactly what we're doing today, you and I. I'm here to end up encouraging and promoting business opportunities. I want to make sure that it's done transparently, that there's accountability behind this, that it's done ethically, which means that we want to ensure open and fairness in our business practices. So we are here. The Procurement Services Division is here responsible to procure goods and services, construction, professional services, including those related to construction, such as acquiring architects, engineers, surveyors, and mappers.
Nice. Okay, so that kind of tags into like an area where we definitely want to highlight. And you spoke about the technology component, which we definitely want to talk about that too. But before we do that, well, I did have a follow-up question based off of what you said. Would you mind explaining the difference between a centralized procurement process and a decentralized procurement process?
Well, and a centralized, and really truly, we do have a centralized procurement function, but we do have somewhat of a hybrid, right? So that hybrid consists of where I'm able to delegate a little bit of that responsibility to the end user. Those end users are city departments. So the difference between a centralized is that we are mainly responsible for the majority of the procurements. A decentralized basically allows for things to be pushed down and out to the city agencies. And city agencies are really truly responsible for their procurement functions. All they would have to do is adhere to the policies and procedures that's embedded in the city's rules and regulations. So that is the major difference. And in our case, though, we are responsible for the majority of procurements. So that's why we are looking at ourselves as more of a centralized, understanding the fact that we want to capture everything that's being requested throughout the city to ensure the fact that there's no repetitiveness in the procurement process. Obviously, the goal within a centralized function is to understand that if there is somewhat of a repeat need that an end user might need, we can gather those repetitive requests throughout the city, bring it into an aggregate procurement. And then obviously, the more we end up buying, hopefully we're leveraging the economies of scales and the pricing will end up going down on a unit price basis, which means that there's cost savings not only to the city, but to our residents.
Absolutely. Okay. I wanted to really highlight that, especially with, you know, your background in the policy aspect. And one component that you really tapped in as well is the procurement policies. So both models work, but it's strictly based on the guidelines of the procurement policies and thresholds. Would you mind sharing more with us about the procurement thresholds at the City of Fort Lauderdale?
So you heard me just mention a little bit about the fact that we tend to engage our city departments. We want them to be engaged. We want to be as nimble as possible, get things done as quickly as possible. So the things that we know for a fact that procurement does not add value to is getting involved with the micro purchases, right? So, you know, nowadays, I hate saying it, but $5,000 doesn't really take you a long way. So for anything that's up to $5,000, we do allow for the city departments to handle those procurements. They have either a P card that they can go ahead and use to procure with any goods or services that's up to $5,000. Just a single quote is required. As a matter of fact, we also acknowledge the fact that, you know, as things get quite expensive, you know, your dollar is not really going, you know, far enough the way it used to. So anything that's over $5,000 up to $50,000, departments are still able to engage. They are involved in the procurement process. They are required to solicit 3 quotes. And then upon soliciting 3 quotes, then we can move forward with making an award and issuing a PO to the lowest quoter. Anything over $50,000, that's where we get involved. So the higher the threshold, the more we get involved, the lower the threshold. We'll leave it up to the city departments, but anything over $50,000, the procurement services division is responsible for the competitive process.
Nice. So that's actually really good opportunities for small businesses to really tap into the departments and the agencies themselves, which I feel like is one conversation that we don't necessarily speak a lot on. In terms of a business getting into this space and wanting to do business with a agency as opposed to coming directly to procurement, Glenn, what would some recommendations be in terms of getting on those departments' radars?
So that's a great question. As a matter of fact, you know, I would say that our process is a very, very simple process. Regardless whether you want to, you know, get your foot in, even at a smaller scale, the first step is always to register. Get yourself in the system. Obviously, when you get yourself in the system, what happens is that you will shorten the time frame for anybody to engage a business once a need is identified. So by simply registering, that is your foot in the door. Once you get your foot inside that door by registering, obviously they're going to be able to select a commodity code. That's a classification code, which they select, which the city department will end up identifying. This is a classification code for what I need. And it's the same, what I refer to as a mirror principle, where when you are registering, you are actually selecting the classification code of the goods and services you offer. So if the city department selects the same classification code as you do, or as a business does by registering with the city, once those classification codes matches, then you will be notified electronically of the fact that a city department has a particular need.
So everyone who's listening, I've already dropped a chat to register as a supplier with the city of Fort Lauderdale in the chat. So definitely the first step is registration. What are the other steps in the process of doing business with the city of Fort Lauderdale?
So again, with the registration, I will compliment what you are putting in the chat. Obviously, interested companies who want to do business with the city of Fort Lauderdale, simply go on the internet. Our web address is www.cityoffortlauderdale.gov. That's all one word. Under the tab of government, look for procurement services, click on it, and then look for our supplier portal. Once you find a supplier portal, then just go ahead and register as a supplier. What I would say is that once you do that, and let's say, for example, you are notified, or even let's say, for example, you want to get ahead of the game, not even wait for a notification of a solicitation, and you have any questions, before you end up picking up the phone and calling us, you're going to be asked anyways whether or not you are a registered supplier. If the answer is yes, then what we will do is we will check just to make sure. If we find out that you're not, we're going to end up asking you to call us back once you are registered. We want to make sure that you're serious about doing business with the city of Fort Lauderdale. But once you do register, pick up the phone. Let me just go ahead and get to know you, whether it's me or any of my buyers. What we'll do is I'll put you in contact with the buyer who knows for a fact that they're involved with the specific goods and services that you have to offer. And then what we will do is we will interview you. And if need be, then we will set up a meeting between you and the city department so you can go ahead and engage them, or by simply engaging via email, sending us your literature and backup information so then we can send it to the person that has that need the most so they can go ahead and review it and they get to know you.
So that's nice. Now, when we send out the information and we're connected with the person who procures our services the most, would we be added to a certain database that they may have? How would they know to follow up with us when they need that service? Or is it a constant? Okay.
No, that's the, and if you want to go ahead and complete your question, because you're heading right in the right direction.
So I was going to say, is it a constant follow-up and continuous marketing and engagement and outreach?
So it's not. Obviously that marketing and engagement happens perhaps maybe just the one time. What will happen is that database that you are referring to, that database is at the fingertips of any interested companies, right? So let's say, for example, if there's something that perhaps, you know, a company comes in, they register, and then, you know, if things are going really well, they tend to grow. They might even offer even more services than what they originally registered under. So they're able 24/7 to go into the system, update their systems, update the contact information. What happens is that really truly during that one time of engagement of getting to know your firm, we will end up getting that information across the city department or individuals that are involved in those goods and services that relates to what they have to offer. So once that's done, really, truly, it's just basically making sure that, you know, not only just, you know, making sure that their information is updated, but I do encourage interested bidders to always navigate to our website. because of the fact that perhaps, you know, one of the things I've always found is that, you know, when you have businesses that register initially, they tend to be somewhat hesitant, where when they're picking out those classification codes that describe the goods and services that they do have to offer, sometimes they're very, very shy as to selecting a good number of those classification codes. I always say, when in doubt, check it out. I much prefer you to end up receiving electronic notification on goods and services that perhaps does not pertain to you, but I'd rather for businesses to receive it nonetheless, and then finding out, you know what, this is something that I do not offer. However, I much rather have that happen versus the fact of missing out on an opportunity where, because of the fact they did not select the classification code, they are never notified of something that indeed they have to offer to the city.
Completely understand that one. And I added that as a quotable from this interview. When in doubt, check it out. So that's what we're going to go with. The next question I have is, how big is the city of Fort Lauderdale's budget?
Wow. I mean, great question. Look, listen, Florida is growing, right?
Tremendous.
So the city of Fort Lauderdale is no different than what's going on within the state of Florida. Florida's thriving. Everybody wants to come to Florida. There's a lot of good reasons why. The weather is one of it. You know, one reason. Another reason is the climate. You cannot beat the climate. You can't beat the beaches and the amenities that we have to offer. You know, Florida is paradise, and so is the city of Fort Lauderdale. We're no different. So much so, we continue to grow as a city. We're roughly around, according to the census back 2020, we're 182,760 residents strong. So we are growing as a city. We are the 10th largest city in the state of Florida. Within, I would say, the Miami-Fort Lauderdale metropolitan area, we are the third largest city, right behind the city of Miami, I believe. And perhaps I think it's Hialeah. So we are right out there. Because of the fact that we are a big city, currently our budget is around $985,000, but we're growing. So the proposed budget for 2024 is a proposed budget that will be over $1 billion. So
you said 985,000 the first.
I'm sorry, 985 million.
Okay.
So I stand corrected on that, but it's 985 million, and we are growing from 985 million to over $1 billion. I think that next year's budget will be roughly $100 million more than the current budget of $985
million. You know what? Y'all hiring over there? I'm just kidding.
We are hiring, by the way. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And I can tell you that I'm hiring. I have several positions that we currently are recruiting for. So besides the fact that I am, you know, always soliciting for competition and businesses, I need the resources to get it done. So the more we buy, the more resources we need. So the answer is yes, we are hiring.
Oh, that's funny. That's a good one. Okay. So in the next question, I kind of wanted to tap into where this money is going. So where do you spend most of this budget currently, and where do you see that going in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. It everything's all interrelated, right? So it's no secret that the way we end up making paradise happen, besides our natural resources, is that you have to end up putting things together where it attracts people, right? People want to go ahead and come and play, work, you know, and really enjoy themselves. So when you look at, you know, where do we end up investing? We invest in our parks and infrastructure. When we grow, we have to end up growing the infrastructure right along with it. And so obviously that's something that we take great pride in. So when you have infrastructure that needs to be either further developed or extended, or you have to grow it, or you have to end up beautifying your parks and perhaps maybe your surrounding neighborhoods, obviously it's going to start with construction, right? So you have to end up investing in your infrastructure. So the most of our spent is construction. And those professional services related to construction, whether it's the architects, the engineers, the, you know, the mappers, surveyors, as you can see, that that all interrelates with planning and planning ahead and then having smart growth. And we're no different. We are part of that plan of smart growth. We are, you know, hand in hand, pretty much elbow to elbow with our partners. Those partners are our city departments, and we have to end up being dependent upon businesses to partner up with the city to make this thing happen. So certain things that we're investing in tremendously, as I mentioned before, infrastructure, which relates to updating our water and sewer treatment plant, and systems. We want clean water. We want to go ahead and make sure that, you know, we are enjoying the fact that, you know, it is safe to drink our waters. It is very, very safe to continue to keep our grass green and our trees growing. And so from that type of infrastructure to building a brand new police department, obviously police departments is a great need with, you know, public safety. We have several fire stations that we're also building. And then we are looking for a new home. We're looking for a new city hall. That city hall will end up looking at the fact that we continue to grow as the city. So as you can see, the city is planning ahead to continue to provide great services to our residents, businesses, and our visitors.
Nice. And I like that. And it's kind of going to tap into like this next question to ask a little bit more about the City of Fort Lauderdale small business programs. And for these bigger projects, how much engagement are we looking to see from the small business community on these projects?
So great. Another great question. Obviously, the fact of the matter is that the heart of this country, of our country, of our state, of the city of Fort Lauderdale, we thrive pretty much on the backs of small businesses. Really, truly, that is our most vital economic engine. I cannot say that enough. When you look at small businesses and the number of people they employ, they are bigger than corporate America. All right. Those Fortune 500 companies, as much as we know for a fact that Fortune 500 companies are major conglomerate, perhaps maybe companies, the fact of the matter is that when you combine all small businesses, they employ more folks than those Fortune 500 companies. So the city does have two programs. One is a local business program or a local preference program. And then the other program that we have is a disadvantaged business enterprise program. Now, as I just mentioned, both programs are preference programs. And depending on the type of business a business can come and classify themselves as, then those businesses will end up being offered either a 10%, 7.5%, or 5% preference, depending on the class of business that they say they are. The DBE goes one step further. The DBE program has an additional 2% preference. And as far as the classes, I will tell you that if you are kind of interested in the local business preference program or the disadvantaged business enterprise program, any questions regarding that, please give us a call. Send us an email, and we will be more than happy to get into further details as to what is the nature of that program and how do you qualify to receive such preference.
Perfect, because that was my next question. I started looking on the website for the information. What email should they use to reach out, Glenn, to get some more information about the small business programs?
I would say if they want, start with my email, gmarcos@fortlauderdale.gov. That's gmarcos at fortlauderdale.gov. And we will send you the information on the programs. It's quite extensive as far as, you know, the literature, and it can be somewhat confusing. So that's why I much prefer that if anybody's interested, they can go ahead and call me. Now, on our website, the program is also listed in our website. So if you prefer to somewhat get yourself well-informed, instead of maybe calling me, you would want to, you're a reader and you love to read and then you want to kind of catch up on your reading on this? Yes. If you go into our website, once again, www.fortlauderdale.gov, go under businesses or government, you will look at procurement as being one of the tabs that you can select from. And then you will see more literature involving these two programs.
Nice. So I'm going to drop that link in the chat as well. Huge opportunity. Now, just a quick question. This is going into like the local business preference. Does it have to be a business that's located in the city of Fort Lauderdale or Broward yes. County? Okay.
Yeah. So well, there you go. You see, you're asking phenomenal questions. You're right on target. So that is exactly it. The different classes, the higher the preference, the higher preference will entail the fact that if you're within the city of Fort Lauderdale, you will receive the higher preference. But we also recognize that if you're not in the city of Fort Lauderdale, but you are in Broward County, you will get a lower preference, but you still nonetheless will get a preference.
And that's a great incentive as well for local businesses, because that gives them the opportunity to expand into the city of Fort Lauderdale.
You got or, it.
That's, you know what? You're enticing people over there, Glenn. I see what you're doing.
Yeah. We're okay. Trying our best. We're trying our best. We want to go ahead and look at new faces. And I can tell you one of the joys that I get, right? The instant gratification I get is hearing the success, you know, the success stories of new businesses, mm-hmm. coming across the fact that I'm now making an award recommendation to this mayor and city commission saying, hey, listen, we got a new business coming on board. Here they are. They're ready to go ahead and roll up their sleeves and become one of our partners. That mm-hmm. is one of my greatest joys. Is to take a look at new businesses coming along and thriving, you know, right alongside the city of Fort Lauderdale.
Absolutely. It definitely can change lives that way, like generations at that point. So yeah. a huge power you wield, I will say. Yeah. the other question I have is, can you tell us a little bit more about the city of Fort Lauderdale's small business events?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, before we started this podcast, I was just mentioning, you know, we're always out there trying to go ahead and get out the word, right? And so we are always engaged, and we try to go out there and participate on whatever events we know for a fact. They're garnering a lot of attention, a lot of participation. So whether it's our local Chamber of Commerce or perhaps maybe partnering up with Broward County, I was the assistant director of procurement for Broward County for almost 10 and a half years. So I know the office of small business over in Broward County. So right after this podcast, as a matter of fact, at 1:30, I will be leaving this podcast to participate in a small business discussion event over at the West Regional Library in Plantation. I'll be joining Broward County there and then doing the same thing there. You know, the only difference would be that I will probably be able to engage with certain folks physically. I'll have my laptop, and the same thing that we're doing here, we'll be doing over there. I will be showing them how to get to our website and then helping them register, with the hopes that right there and then they can register with the city of Fort Lauderdale, and then explaining some of the, what I consider rules of engagement with the city of Fort Lauderdale, you know, at that event. And the same way that I am doing the same thing here with you and your listeners.
Well, we appreciate that. We joked a little bit early about Glenn going to start charging speaker fees for showing up so many places back to back. So, but I definitely appreciate it. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
My final question is, what is the best way for a small business to market to the city of Fort Lauderdale without past performance, brand new business? How do we do that? New business is just getting started.
Yeah. You know, again, you know, I've seen throughout the years, I've been in this business now for almost 30 years. Right. And I do see sometimes the hesitation where folks might be a little bit afraid of what they're getting into when it's time to do business with the city of Fort Lauderdale. And I'm going to say, listen, that's a natural thing. You know, you're not alone. I can see it from the other side. I know for a fact, you know, being a son from, you know, being a son of a small business owner, and understanding that, you know, I had to see it from that side. You know, my father was no different. He was really hesitant and afraid of engaging and getting into, you know, doing business with government. It can be somewhat intimidating, especially when you see a lot of these thick documents, right? And it has all this literature, and sometimes you just don't know what it means. So what I say is, if I'm now saying something that applies to you, then I would say complement that by starting small, right? Engage yourself, maybe by first registering. I'm going to be consistent. You have to end up registering. But once you register, and if you want to get somewhat of a taste of doing business with government, but yet you don't want to be all in, I would say go ahead and start small. Start understanding, as as I always refer to the rules of engagement. So that way you can get to know not only your government officials, but also the rules and regulations and policies that it entails for you to do business with government. Now, obviously, being an entrepreneur, it's all about managing risk. And I think what happens is that when you go big, you know, sometimes, you know, the bigger you go, the bigger the risk, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But you have certain other businesses that are not willing to take that risk. And that's simply okay. We will cater to everyone and every type of business, no matter what. But I would say that the best type of way to market yourself is to, if you want, just start small, one step at a time, ask questions, get to know the process. And once you end up getting to know the folks, getting to know the process and have a better understanding, then you can continue to grow and take those bigger risks because you really understand what it entails to do business with the city of Fort Lauderdale. So I would say that that's the best way of marketing. And by the way, another reason why you might want to start small is that you don't want to take on too much responsibility, right? One of the things that can be something where it could shut doors instead of opening doors is that if you take on something so big that it will impact your performance, all right? You don't want anything to impact your performance. You want to be known as a very, very responsive and responsible business. That marketing is vital. Being responsive and responsible is vital for you to engage us and then to engage us with open arms. If you take on too much and yet you end up having a bad reputation that you didn't meet, let's say, the budget or timelines as required by the solicitation, that I can go ahead and tell you that instead of opening doors, you're actually closing doors. So marketing means being smart about your approach, taking it step by step, and making sure that the appropriate risk can be managed by the business.
Absolutely. And I like that, that component of it, making sure you are being strategic. And
very strategic
pursuits. Yeah, definitely. I think I had a conversation with someone before and I told them basically your reputation is such a big deal in the government contracting world. You know, you mess up one time and like, it's like, oh no, they messed up our floors the last time they tried to wax. So like something like that.
Yeah,
so,
and you're absolutely right. And as a matter of fact, when you end up looking at this whole discussion that we're having, right? Mm-hmm. If you think about it, it really is designed to help out businesses, especially the small businesses. If you look at the thresholds that we've talked about in this conversation, from 0 to 5,000 P cards or a single quote, over 5,000 up to 50,000, you have city departments engaging and doing the procurement. Anything over 50,000, we being the procurement services division, we are definitely involved. So when you look at those steps, we're talking about, you know, somebody who is crawling versus then getting up. And then instead of crawling, now they're taking baby steps. And then once they're taking baby steps, they're taking longer strides. And once they take on, they take those longer strides, then they're pretty much up and running with everybody else. That's pretty much what we have here. It's almost like incubating the small businesses to really feel comfortable with the process and taking it step by step.
Absolutely. And that's a way to success, building up that momentum. So that's huge. Yeah, nice, Glenn. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. Is there any last parting words you would like to share with the audience before we close this thing out?
Sure. My parting message would be that we are here to serve everyone. We are no different than anybody else. Sometimes I know it's intimidating, you know, going into a government setting with folks that have coats and jackets, and that can be somewhat cold and intimidating. But you know what? We're human beings. Absolutely. Okay. We're no different than anybody else. We are actually here looking for you as much as you're looking for us to do business. I can tell you that the same way that I engage in this podcast, you will see I'm no different in person. Again, you know, it is a lot simpler than what people believe. We've made it more simpler. And I can tell you the internet has really provided open access for everyone to engage and do business with government agencies. And so the city of Fort Lauderdale is no different. We are here. Look at our website. If you have any questions, engage us. We are here to end up answering any questions. And remember this, we need you as much as you need us. And we can't go ahead and provide, you know, the services that we do to our residents without our partners. And we look at the private sector as our partners. Get a piece of the pie by registering with the city. Do not drag your feet. Remember this, each and every day that you do drag your feet and don't register with the city of Fort Lauderdale, you are probably missing out on the piece of the pie. So we're here.
And that's a big pie, just to remind y'all, this budget.
Over $1 billion worth of a pie.
Listen, okay, I will definitely encourage you to make sure you take yourself over there and get a part of that pie, get a little slice, a little sliver of that pie.
That's right.
But thank you so much, Glenn. It's definitely been a pleasure. I'm pretty sure we're going to engage with you again and get some updates on what's going on, especially as this new budget rolls around and some new projects are on the horizon. So please look out for another email to come back.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Let's do this one again. And I was going to say one more time. You know what? Let's do it many times. I appreciate it. So I'm looking forward to the next time. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Everyone in the chat, in the comments, we really appreciate you. We had some people saying thank you so much for the great information. This was very engaging. So they share the sentiments that I do. In the meantime, do not forget to like, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. If you know anyone who's in the city of Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, or surrounding areas, send them this video, because you don't let your friends miss out on this money, okay? All right, so we will see you all in the next episode. Until then, peace, everybody.
Thank you.